Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow, every now and then, the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Live on, and this is Hope is Alive, the radio program. We welcome you here, and good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard. Well, good to be with you from Oklahoma.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Got to make sure I hit that button or the song plays again, so got to watch out for that. Well, thanks again for joining us, and hope you're having a blessed day and evening. We sure are. We've had beautiful weather here, and no rain today, which is good because we're putting hay up, and you don't like it to rain. You like it before you're putting the hay up and after, but not during. And so we sure like that. And looking out the window, we've got to be close to a full moon, just a beautiful moon coming up back in the east, and it'll be a bright night tonight, but we're just glad to be here. And
And you see the stars really well up in that country, don't you?
Oh, when there's no clouds, it is. The Milky Way and the Big Dipper out rotating around, I think, Polaris, the North Star. And you see it all different times of the year, but it's always right there to the north. And then Orion's Belt, and they're beautiful.
You can smell those pines as well.
Yes, yes. It is.
Yeah, it's God's country up there.
It is. It's a beautiful place to be. And boy, we've had some hoot owls out the last few nights. I don't know if the moon's got them out or what, but boy, we've had some owls out. We don't normally have a lot of owls around here, but they've been out just a hooting and hollering all night. And I think it must be this full moon's got them where they can see, and they're just out all over the place. But that's part of it.
Well, it may be. It may be. I back up to some woods here in Edmond, Oklahoma, and I think I heard a hoot owl earlier. So maybe it is the moon.
Might be. Might be. So, well, I understand we have a couple callers scheduled in, so we'll sure get them on and when they do. And you'd send over a scripture, if you don't mind. I'd love to read that. It's Hebrews 11:6. And it's an inspirational scripture. I think it really is. And Hebrews 11:6, and it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." And, you know, our
Amen.
Heavenly Father sure is. It's pleasing to him when his people want to seek him, want to do his word, his will, want to do things his
way. And, of course, where does faith come from? Well, as we read in Hebrews 11:6, or rather Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing of the word. And therefore, the more we read the Word and who we are in Jesus and the blessings of the New Testament, then the more faith we have. It's funny how that works. And so to build that faith, yes, it's just a matter of getting in the Word and feeding your spirit, man, and the faith will grow and grow.
Yes.
And, of course, it is easier, I'll have to admit, to have a greater faith when you actually see God supernatural happen.
Yes.
I've seen 38 years of supernatural things happening now. Well, my faith is quite high.
Yes.
And I know we're supposed to believe and then, you know, first, but it definitely is easier after you've seen it as well, and you know God's doing it, and if he's done it once, he'll do it again.
Amen. You know, I think of David facing Goliath, and I don't think you read about it a whole lot here in this Faith Hall of Fame, but you know, David had when he had been obedient in probably what was the most boring job in the world, which was watching sheep, because all they do is eat. And but he was obedient through that, and so when the, you know, whatever it was, the wolf, the lion, the whatever came after him, you know, God strengthened him in being able to protect the sheep, to being a good shepherd. And so he was able to, you know, with his hands to destroy these animals. So when it came time to face down Goliath, who was cursing his God, you know, he'd been there before. He was familiar with it. And so it's like, hey, I'll take care of this. You're nothing more than, just fixing to be dead man. And that's what
Another
it was.
Another form of animal.
Yeah, and David was used to it. His faith had been strengthened, but because he had been obedient, he had done what he was supposed to do. He had been, watching the sheep. He'd been, while all of his older brothers were off at war having the good time, you know, they're all fighting the battles. He's got the boring job of staying home with Dad watching the sheep, but he was obedient in that. You know, he bloomed where he was planted. We hear that a lot. You know, he played the cards that were dealt him. You know, he was obedient in the mundane, the boring, so that when the time came, he took care of the problem, and he was able to because he had that greater faith. He had that great faith. He knew God's delivered me before.
Yes.
And God's not going to put up with this blaspheming and all this. And he was strengthened. Amen. He had the power of God.
Yes.
And
he stepped into his destiny.
Yes, yes. And I know that's what your ministry promotes, is that we have that same power that God had and has, and that Jesus has, and he tells us to use it, doesn't he?
Well, that's right, and again, faith comes by hearing of the Word, and as you read the Scriptures, in Jesus' name, we find we do have all power over the enemy, and even a promise that nothing will harm us. We can build faith by reading, like John 14:12, that we are to do the same works that Jesus did. We do it in His name. We have the power of attorney. Yeah, as you read that and it soaks into your spirit, man, of who we are, faith is definitely there. But we had 14 exorcisms this last Monday night, and I had a minister for each, and they came. We had one minister to a man from Nebraska, and then we had a couple of people come from Arkansas, which, by the way, all of those were Scripture for America people. And we had some really heavy cases. One of the team leaders had a woman who had cursed God and had given her life to Satan previously. And she was so tormented with the demons and the voices in her head that she finally reached out for help. And I haven't gotten all the details of that yet, but I understand it went very well. We had another man from another part of the state of Oklahoma that was bothered with the succubus spirit, which is a sexual tormenting demon. And that's so common, that succubus spirit, you can find it in Webster's dictionary, if you still have one of the old Webster dictionaries, but that's how common it has been through the centuries, the decades, that succubus spirit, and with the women it's an incubus spirit. And we run into that surprisingly a lot. You know, that's something that you wouldn't hear someone talk about on the street. But sure, when we get into ministry situations like we do, where we have to dig and find out the very personal things, because we have to know how to pray. And most of the people are so tormented when they come, they're ready to lay everything out on the table, which definitely makes it easier. Of course, we have a number of questions we've learned. We have a checklist to give us the background we need on how to pray. But it went well. My man from Nebraska, he had a lot of continuous yawns. Every bit of three dozen spirits, probably many more than that, came out. They were moving around his body. I was touching him with the Bible as we went through the ministry and the deliverance part. And I finally just gave the Bible to him for him to touch it on his own body, you know, where he felt the demons moving. And anyway, it came out. He got the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the end with the good prayer language, the tongues. And he looked, when I looked at him at the end, I had to reflect again. He looked like a different man. And I've already talked to him, and he's doing very well. And of course, as he said Monday night, he felt wonderful, which is the typical. People usually say, I feel lighter. He didn't specifically say that, but I'm sure he did. He looked lighter. So I'm still on a high from all the action of those 14 exorcisms on Monday night, and we had a lot of physical healings take place as well, as is so common as you go through this process. Just as Jesus cast spirits of infirmity out in Luke 13, 11, and 12, we do too in his name. And so it's high adventure, as I'm always saying, Brother Richard. And I just praise God somebody shared it with me 38 years ago, or I'd have missed all this adventure.
Well, praise the God. Lord. Praise the Lord. And a lot of this is noted in your book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. And that's available at, I think I got it, deliveranceusa.org, I think is your website.
No, it's .com.
.com. I was close. I'm getting there. DeliveranceUSA.com. And you can go there. And, of course, we carry the book as well. And, you know, Pastor Cox, I'm going to have to, if you get a chance, maybe have your Richard call me or email me. I've got to order some more books. We brought some back from Branson. I think I'm down to just a few, because sometimes we get orders in for several at a time. So I'll have to do that.
We still have some on hand, and but we just ordered another 1,000 books from the printer.
Well, great.
So those will be coming in as well. So we ought to be able to supply you.
Well, great. Well, I'll do that. I'll send your Richard an email and get some ordered, because It's a good book. It's a learning tool. It's
a good book. So we encourage you to get it and to read it. Well, the phone's ringing, so
and
let's see.
Of course, it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it is a book and a manual.
Yes.
That sets out these steps that we've learned to do that we applied even this last Monday night. They're proven over and over through the years. And they really do work well, and they're easy for people to learn, as we know. Any Christian can do this kind of ministry. It is not a special gift area. It is normal Christianity.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Richard. Enjoyed Sunday sermon.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much. And
This is Kim from New Orleans.
Yes. Good evening, Kim. Welcome to the program. Glad you called in.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Everett. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed, Kim. It's wonderful to hear your voice. You sound great from Louisiana there.
Yeah. We were there, I guess, about 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Well, I had asked that you call in, Kim, if you could. If you could share how you as a Christian first learned about this type of ministry called deliverance or exorcisms, how you first got introduced to it, and then any experiences that you would be comfortable in sharing.
Certainly. I have been a Scriptures for a member, Scriptures for America, part of the ministry for 30 years. But I was never able to go to Branson. And for the first time, we were able to go this June, and you had a sermon about deliverance, and you did a group deliverance. And it was wonderful for myself and my son. And we came home, we bought the book, we read it, came home, and we were forgiving everyone that we could even think of that did anything to us, and blessing them, and things were just so lifted and good. And Satan didn't like that at all, and he shot a cannon at myself and my son, and a personal situation came up that I'm not going to say was devastating, but it was heart-wrenching. And my son told me, you're crazy and you've got a demon in you. Well, I didn't quite agree with him about being crazy, but I did agree with him about having a demon in me. And we decided we were going to go to your ministry, and I called you. And we went, and part of the protocol is you have the sheet where anything that you think pertains to you, you check off. Well, I was in such total denial because I thought I had everything handled. And as the ladies were working with me in doing the protocol, I didn't have anything handled. And the head demon for me was fear. And when that was spoken, it came out. Everything was so crystal clear about so many things that happened in my life that now I
did it actually
really.
Kim, did it actually speak through your mouth?
This was the thing. It wouldn't, and we were there forever because normally a Monday night is from 5:30 to 9:30. Well, my goodness, we closed the place. We didn't leave till almost midnight. And I had a clarity in my mind about everything, and the ladies were interrogating the spirit, and I didn't have an answer for anything. And what was amazing was I was exhausted that night, and we stayed in town because we were leaving the next day, and I had taken a shower, and I got out of the bathtub, and I looked in the mirror, and I started just staring at myself, and I started interrogating myself the way they did, but in the third person. And then it spoke, and it said, Kim doesn't want you. I said, what legal right do you have that you are in me, or you are in Kim? And it said, Kim doesn't want me to leave. Kim wants to be here. And I rebuked it in the name of Jesus Christ. I cast it down to his feet. And I have been doing the I Am's and the prayers every day. And it was rocky, but the things that I had an issue with that wouldn't speak, all these things started coming out of my mouth. All these, mm-hmm. these things. Yes. Yes, sir. It was...
How many do you think you got out? How many do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. The spirit of fear is gone, but I'm working on anger. And I'm making great strides in the last couple of days. And mm-hmm. because we want to hold on, we think we have a right to hold on to unforgiveness and anger toward people. And it's a human thing. And I've been praying about it and just wanting to release all these things that people who did things that were wrong to me. And I'll tell you, my son and myself both, we're more sensitive to the places we go. We're from New Orleans, and there's a lot of things here that, you know, you shouldn't have anything to do with. I was listening earlier to the man from Maine, and there's a lot of witchcraft everywhere, but they really come in certain places. And this is a 300-year-old city, just like up north is hundreds of years old. Well, we have a place here that's called Voodoo Barbecue. And believe me, barbecue is good. Well, my son and I went there, and all of a sudden, I got in my head about a young guy that did some work for me that I thought overcharged me, and I was so mad at him. And I told my son, I said, you know what? I said, I'm never coming to this place again, because whatever it is, this is a portal that's bad. And I said, I am so mad at this person, and I know it's because I came to this restaurant. Now that may sound crazy to some people, but the more you read about and learn about the spiritual world, the portals are all over the place.
Well, I guess, and witchcraft might have taken place there in the past, as old as that area is.
The area promotes, because it's called Voodoo, they promote all these witchcraft-looking things that are just part of their decor, because it's a franchise. They have a bunch of them. And it's just, I'll never go to that place again, and I'll never go to a place that, my son and myself, are both becoming more sensitive to things in the area that just aren't. They are out of God's order, and they're not right. And so we're not going to those kind of places. And this is just my opinion about the deliverance. So please, everyone, take it as that. But the more you can submit and really give it to Jesus and submit, the more successful your experience is going to be. And it's a hard thing to do, and it doesn't mean you're a bad Christian if you can't. It just means that, you know, you won't get the gifts that are phenomenal from the Lord. And because deliverance is phenomenal, I can tell you just the daily prayers and the understanding now of how Satan enters you, that which you have to, you know, sidestep and understand, and forgiveness and love are the biggest things. And that's hard to do. That's real hard to do. It's not easy. But we had a great experience, and we want to come up next month sometime again.
Mm-hmm. Well, praise God. Well, you have seen differences. And of course, sometimes it isn't all in one evening. It is with some, quite a few. But then we have people come back, as they might need it. And of course, right. You kind of learned how to resist the devil yourself. You did that when you looked in the mirror, didn't you?
I did, and again, I was interrogating myself in the third person. It was like, and again, that sounds kind of strange and goofy to some people, but it answered. It finally answered, and it told me, I wanted it to stay. And then it occurred to me, and you had called me a couple of weeks later, and we did another deliverance for me over the phone because my mother told me about this. And I couldn't have been any more than two and a half years old. But she told me I used to have these imaginary friends that had these very strange names. And I've learned that these evil spirits seek children. And I could have had these demons enter me from a little baby, a little child.
Absolutely.
That.
Like a spirit guide or familiar spirit. That's not unusual. A lot of children, especially those that are lonely a lot, demons will take advantage of that.
Yeah, I was at the time I was an only child, and I was totally adored and loved by my grandparents, my parents, the family. And, And it's funny because that occurred to me, and then you called, and we prayed about it, and there is a difference. There is a lightness in my heart, and I am avoiding those things that, Satan would even have any say about wanting to go into, because this is a city that has a lot of, I think any city could, but this city has a lot of satanic things in it and bad things in it.
Well, Louisiana and the voodoo and all that's been pretty common there, hasn't it?
We have, as I was telling the ladies when we started, you're usually either Catholic, we have a large Jewish community, or you voodoo. Well, now we're getting a large Muslim community here, but we have the largest voodoo community, the largest Haitian community, which is a voodoo religion in the country. And yes, and I didn't even realize that. You just think these things are kind of silly because you go to the quarter and you can go just about anywhere and get your palm read. And you can go to the quarter and you can get a voodoo doll and stick pins in it and take it home as a souvenir. And these are not things you do. You don't mess with anything.
No. It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it?
It is.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, too, we came back and I told everybody, about where we went and what we did. But this isn't for everyone, because I was telling my brother about it, and he told me, he laughed, and he told me, I'm at peace with my devil. And,
oh, man.
And so he let me know, because I have your book, and I bought a bunch of copies, and I said, I'm not going to give it to you unless you ask me for it, so because I'm not going to just put my own will on somebody else, and I'm not going to waste the book. And he just laughed, and he told me, he said, I'm at peace with my devil. And so his devils were telling me, leave us alone. And so this, it's real. The spiritual world is real.
Yes.
And
of course, Satan and his demons will draw people to them and promote and suggest and even lead them into certain advantage things where they make contracts with Satan and will give them some prosperity and things like that. But of course, they've been led down the wrong path, and they're
my brother's not prosperous at all. But he doesn't want his life to change.
Yeah. His life will change when he finally meets his maker, and he finds his name is not written in the book of life.
And there are so many that, Mr. Everett, that's the sad part about it. And every day, because I have the 1599 Geneva Bible, and they have the most wonderful prayer that you can start your morning out, and you do pray for not just the believers that have an understanding through Christ, but those who do not. And I pray for my brethren, and not just them, but all people who want to come into our Lord. And I pray every day for them. And
yes.
But I'm also understanding, too, that you have to accept when a person chooses not to. And
entities of free choice, as you know, Kim.
Right.
And we can choose any path we want to choose. And
Correct.
Some don't make good choices.
No, they don't. And unfortunately, so many don't make good choices. And I want to tell you right now how happy and what a blessing it has been to meet you and to be able to come to your ministry. And the people that were there, and just this one last thing, because when we got there, there were like over 50 people, and then I went into another room, and then my son was in the main room, and he said people started to drifting away when they had deliverances, and people want to come. And then sometimes the demons in them say, no, we need to leave. And I'm just hoping that they'll come back and they'll realize it, because your life, the gift is so wonderful from Christ, if you can accept
it. Amen.
So thank
Amen.
You so much. Thank you so, so much. Well, and I know I've taken a bunch of your time, so thank you.
No, you've done really great, and it's hearing. We were talking earlier about how faith comes by hearing of the Word of God, and of course by hearing testimonies, faith builds as well, and you've no doubt helped to build faith to some of the listeners out there, Kim, on that there are answers to your torment and the problems that are overboard and out of balance, reoccurring, and those are very likely to have a demon behind them, which is good news in this respect. In Jesus' name, we can do something about it.
It's so,
so
true. And please,
hallelujah,
everyone,
there are answers.
Hallelujah is right, because I'm going to tell you, I had so many things that I did wrong in my life. I mean, I'm not a murderer or anything like that, but Lord, I'm not perfect. I'm not nearly perfect. And through faith, I am a daughter of God.
Amen.
And he doesn't
remember our sin anymore.
No,
somewhere, Kim.
And I ask to be led every day by Him and to be right. And I'm so looking forward to coming to see you again sometime. Probably mid-September, after Labor Day. We're trying to make another trip up there. But I'm going to call you first.
Sounds great, Kim. And God bless you. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, good. No problem at all, Mr. Everett. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Hey, bye-bye.
What a fantastic testimony. Awesome.
Hallelujah.
We got a chance to meet Kim and her son for the first time face-to-face. We've spoken several times over the years, but got to meet him face to face in Branson, and you're right. It's it's encouraging to me. That's a faith building testimony. It is. It truly is.
what sinks in, if God helped one person and it set them free, he will set others free.
Yes.
It's just a matter of the of reaching out.
Yes.
That is a prerequisite. You've got to seek to find.
And then know what to do. Well, here's the phone line ringing again. Let's go back to it. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Richard. This is Kyle from Louisiana. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. It's a pleasant evening out here and no rain, especially in the Louisiana area, so we're happy about that.
And you guys were spared from the flooding?
Yes, sir. Yes, good. Sir, we were.
Good. Well, welcome. Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, Kyle. This is Everett.
Hey,
I'm
Everett.
Here
How
with
you?
You. Well, I'm blessed, and I know you are, too. And
thanks, sir.
For
yes,
calling.
Sir.
If you could... A number of the listeners on this show are probably not that familiar with this works of Jesus called deliverance and physical healing and all, but I wondered if you would share on how you first learned about deliverance and then any experiences you would be comfortable in sharing.
Sure. As far as deliverance, it was something that I was familiar with, but not too keen on. And this has been going on about a year where I've really started seeking the Lord, reading my Bible morning and at night when I go to bed, and really searching for the Word. And there were two instances before I did come to receive deliverance that did pop up in my mind. And the first incident was one of the things that I came across one day. I was looking at different churches, just people were speaking of full gospel and everything. And I came across this one church on YouTube that was talking about how the media today for movies and songs and all of that have satanic overtones to it that are embedded in it. And by keeping all of these different movies and DVDs in your house or video games, it's a very bad thing. Well, I read that, and he said the best thing to do is just dispose of it. And I had access to a house that, you know, out in the country that I could, you know, burn legally and everything such as that. And I told my mother about it, and I said, let's put all of our movies together, old video games, songs, and everything, and let's just get rid of all this media. So we went out to the country, and I burned it at day. It was a Sunday after church because I was making a sacrifice to the Lord. I didn't want this in my life. And on the way back, my vehicle was attacked by two children that threw rocks at my truck that actually dented it. And that was the first incident. The second incident occurred years later, I would say in April, where I was sleeping at night, and there was a lifting of like this heavy blanket just off of me, and it wasn't even there, like a release. And when I did go to the Branson meeting with my mother, I had the opportunity to meet you and did have that preliminary deliverance there, and was something that I was very interested in. And started reading the spiritual super healing book that you had, and I was fascinated with it. And shortly after that, when we got back from Branson, just a lot of things were just changing in my life, where things that were, I could feel like the spiritual importances were changing in me, like God was renewing a new heart inside of me. And I told my mom, we had some discord with some different situations that were happening in our lives, and I said, I think you have some bad spirits in you, and there's some that I want to correct in me. And we did drive to Oklahoma City, and we went through the delivery process, and I know with you with me, going through this delivery process, I mean, we were uncovering, there was like bunches of demons, and I know like my lead demon was named Control. And it was all wrapped into, like, fascinations with lying, guiltiness, bearing false witness. The big one was a dependency on lust and pornographic material. And I can tell you, since I did it, I've stayed away from it. And I've even caught myself not lying anymore and doing all of this stuff. And, you know, I feel so much better. I find clarity in my life, and I continue to pray day and night. And one of the things that I can tell you, and it is true, is that when you cut off those conduits, those portals, or those doorways to Satan, he does get very mad. And I would say within the last 2 weeks, there's been two attacks that I've had that I know were satanic inspired. And I mean, the first one was when I went to a restroom, and I went in there alone, and then I went to use the facility, and there was a voice cursing me out, and then when I walked outside, there was nobody there. And the second time happened today. I was driving around in a neighborhood, regular suburban neighborhood that we would think, you know, was typical America. And I mean, there was an 8-year-old little girl who just turned around, looked me straight in the eye, and shot the bird at me. And I mean, it just shows you that when you start breaking those bonds and you step away from these satanic strongholds where he would pipe into you, he gets very mad. And I mean, that's
well,
just
and
some
the
of
demons,
the instances I have. Yeah.
Kyle, the demons yeah. and the other people recognize that you know about the deliverance and you understand the demon world now and who we are in it in Jesus. And so the demons know that and sometimes will manifest accordingly. I remember one of our team leaders telling me one time she had gone into a Brahms ice cream place here, an hamburger place, and there was a man sitting there, and he started growling at her.
Wow.
And no doubt it was a demon in him, and
oh, yeah.
the demons recognized who she was and that she was even a deliverance minister. So the demons know when you know these things. And they know you're
yes,
educated.
Sir.
They're hoping you haven't learned it yet, of course. But they when they see that you have, then it's upsetting to them, obviously. Well, did the demons actually talk out of your mouth, Kyle, when you were ministered to? Is that how?
Yes, they were.
How we
yes,
knew?
Yes, they were. From what I remember during my the episode that was there, they did talk to me. It actually even scratched my face and my arm. And it talked about how its master was Lucifer. I do remember that they wanted to have control over me because when they were in control, you know, the light of the spirit couldn't shine out, that it liked having me in the place that it was in. And
yes.
they really didn't want me to be happy because if I was under control, then, you know, they were under control. And all of these conduits, such as like the pornography and the feelings of guilt and lying and all of that, just kept them exactly where, you know, I was under their wraps.
Yeah. And that's their mission, of course, with all Christians. Imagine, Kyle, how many others are around the country, around the world, that are demonized yeah. like that and never get introduced to the possibility there are answers where they can get freedom. The people just live with it and they're tormented and harassed. They go to heaven as a Christian, but they sure never lived life abundant. Are you starting to live
yeah.
life more abundant now? Can you see that? Sounds like it.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And I can, there was another incident that happened where this was a high school friend that I knew of, and it was his younger brother, and I've known his family over 20 years. And the younger brother was leaving our area to go up to the northeast, to go to another school. And it was his like last time here. And I knew that he had atheist views and all of this, and it was more of a respect thing for the family just to say, look, you know, bon voyage. And just being in his presence with all of these negative spirits in him made me violently ill. To where it was like I had like chest pains and everything just being around this person that had that type of spirit around them. Didn't believe
mm-hmm.
in Christianity or nothing or anything like that. And that was something that I never experienced with anybody like that before. It's
yeah,
being more spiritually aware. It's like I have to be choosy of who I invite into my house and continuing it to anoint it and bless it after somebody I think could be suspect leaves. And it wasn't until he said, well, I'll see you later, take care of yourself, that, like, my whole spirit just lifted up. And
wow.
That never happened before.
Yeah, your mom was sharing about the barbecue place that probably it had witchcraft take place there in the past, Satanism, etc., voodoo, whatever, in those properties being so old, many of them in that area. And she was picking up on it. There's locations where demons hang out. There's, of course, people we run into that are demonized, and our spirit man, the bell starts ringing.
Yes. And
well, praise God, it was learning.
Yes, and it's amazing. I had a friend out of the blue just call me up, and he was starting to talk to me about different things. And in our particular area, we're Catholic, and he was even like asking questions about different things that I started reading and all of that. And I'm going to hopefully this week go talk to him about it. And it's amazing because the more that I don't even have to say anything, it's like people are just so hungry and thirsty for knowledge that they just start coming to you, and they'll start asking you questions. And one of the things now is that I'm not afraid to express it to anybody and talk to them about anything.
You have the boldness of the Holy Spirit, amen?
amen to that, I am doing a lot better.
It.
And one of the other gifts that I wanted to say, too, was there is that more personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, since there was those spiritual roadblocks that were removed during the exorcism, there is, like, I can hear the voice of the Lord and the voice of the Holy Spirit talk to me. And it's in ways of, you know, allowing him to be like the guide in my life. And if there's somebody that I even suspect of being not of a true spirit or a lying spirit, whatever, I mean, it's something that I can talk to the Lord at, and he will tell me, like, if this person has a true spirit or they have a deceptive spirit. And
praise God.
It's very comforting. It's very comforting because, especially today, I know that there are many wolves in sheep's clothing, and who do you trust in? How do you proceed even in a world like this today? But it has been very comforting, and he's been giving me a lot of comfort, like with the future, you know, telling me to be patient and just wait, and I like he has it all taken care of. And I'm not allowing my inability to, like, I don't want to take it out of God's hands anymore. And the things that I'm starting to see with the spiritual eyes that I have is so many people that have taken their lives out of God's hands from the get-go, and now they're starting to see the what has happened from it. And if they would have just, like, put it all in God's hands, how perfect it would have been. And that has been one of the themes that I've been hearing so much and has been resounding in my mind, and I just want to put it all in God's hands.
Praise God.
Yes, praise Jesus.
Well, and of course, the demon's mission is to block the Christian's life where they cannot use their God-given gifts and they cannot get into their destinies and their ministries, and they are doing a good job of it. It would be a rare Christian, it's been our experience, that doesn't have their share of demonic activity unless they've had this kind of ministry called deliverance. Jesus so adamantly commanded believers to cast evil spirits out, and I see why he said that now, because it appears that most Christians have them, and most Christians don't even know what to do about it. So many Christians don't even recognize it's demonic. They just think it's flesh and blood, just like Paul did with the church at Ephesus. He was warning them, hey, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but the demonic, he went on to say. And that's so true today, and it's frustrating to us to see so little focus on this works of Jesus and how it can turn our lives around. You are just typical, Kyle, of so many Christians out there. You're blessed that you found out about it and to get relief, amen. And now you're holding onto your hat. Your ministry is opening up big time, and those God-given gifts that you were given at birth now will come right on up to the surface, and the Holy Spirit will lead you. Did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you were there? I can't remember now. Or speaking in tongues?
I did receive it in the Branson gathering, so I did receive it during that time, and I know I spoke in tongues at that time, and that was something that I was doing a lot more of when I was heading back home to Louisiana. And it's one thing that I need to start practicing more of, but I have spoken it before and have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's great. And that's another jump up for boldness the Holy Spirit leading you down your path. It made the difference in my life, because I would not have been doing this ministry had I not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues 38 years ago. I know that. I wouldn't have had the boldness to do it. So hold on to your hat. And the more you speak in tongues, the more the Holy Spirit, what he brings. I gave you a whole list there of what the Holy Spirit brings in its fullness. And it is awesome that we have that available to us. Most Christians, a lot more Christians are receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just praise God somebody shared it with me. I could have missed it.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And I'm going to tell you, the saying the I Am's every morning, I do say it every morning. I'm going to try to start saying it at night, because I do say it in my morning prayers. And also the blessings every day, that has also been a help, because it's, the more you say it, the more you keep speaking the word, the more it starts to renew your heart.
Yes, and faith rises and rises. We were talking about that earlier, Richard and I, on how faith cometh by hearing of the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for those that come to God must first believe that he is. But faith is a major area, and the more you read those I Am's, which are just scriptures of who you are in Jesus, the more your faith will rise. And that's true with all of us. Praise God for the word.
Yeah, praise Jesus, yes. And I mean, it's made a tremendous improvement in my life, a great impact.
Well, Kyle, you'll probably, it sounds like the Lord is already steering people toward you. He does that. Just like when I first got into this, people just seem to come to me from, out of the blue. and you'll have more and more people coming to you. And as you get your base more under you in terms of the steps of doing deliverance, you'll find there are plenty of people in Louisiana that are needing help.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm, like I said before, it's amazing that a lot of them are wanting to accept it, and that's what I'm very happy with, is that they're willing to accept and they want to hear. And praise Jesus for that.
Amen. Well, before we let you go there, Kyle,
yes, sir.
Do you have any other thoughts to tell the listeners about deliverance?
I could say that it's something that I think every Christian needs to experience. And one of the things that I've learned from it that most people didn't, as we were going through the different checklists, is that there is generational curses that a person may never realize that they've ever had, that it was something that was passed on from grandparents, even great-grandparents, or beyond that, multi-generational. And it was things that I even suspected that I might have had on my father's side that I didn't even know about, because I really didn't know about beyond my grandparents with my paternal, side. But it's something that, you can break bonds and curses from the generational aspects of it. Also, it helps you to realize unforgiveness in your heart and just releasing all of it, because it's once we break these strongholds and these spiritual roadblocks that we can receive all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, that would be the one thing that I would tell any Christian, that once you go to this point, it makes it so much easier to go down the straight and narrow.
Amen. Well, that's awesome, Kyle. Thank you for sharing that. And you've been a blessing.
You're welcome.
Your mom as well. And I look forward to seeing you some more. It sounds like you're going to come back up here in next month, and
yes,
that'll be exciting to see you again.
Yes, sir. And I'm interested in, you know, war room training and learning how to deliver myself for other people and help them go through this. You know, help them just remove the demons out of them.
Amen. Well, talk to you later then, Kyle. Thanks again for calling in.
Oh, you're quite welcome, and God bless.
Thanks, God bless Kyle. You. God bless.
All right, God bless. Good night.
Well, wow.
Hallelujah.
That's, you know, just real normal people, normal Christians right there, having that daily fight of faith and being empowered to be able to have victory in that fight.
Yes.
Praise
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
How exciting.
Oh, it is. It is.
And what high adventures, I'm always saying, Brother Richard.
Yep.
What a fulfillment that we have by being in his service and seeing God use little us who are just normal Christians.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned a couple times tonight your checklist, and the thought occurred to me, and I know you've been a pilot. Our pastor was a pilot, and he just flew little planes, but he had a checklist, you know, the things that you do. And the first thing on his checklist was pray, you know, and then it was do this and that on the airplane. But it was, I remember seeing that. He'd always get that out. And he had his checklist. And it wasn't that he didn't know what to do, but the checklist, you get used to it. It's a good routine. You get through it. And anyway, it made me think about that. And I know you've...
Well, and it's easy to forget something. I always use a checklist. And it keeps you from forgetting something that might be very important.
Yes. So... great. Well, thanks again for coming on the radio tonight, and folks, we thank you for tuning in, and we hope that it was an encouragement to you. Again, you can go to the website deliveranceusa.com. That's deliveranceusa.com. There's a wealth of information there, and we encourage you to go there and take a look, and it'll be a blessing to you. Well, Pastor Cox, again, thanks for being with us, and we'll go out with the same song we came in with, and be blessed. Have a great evening.
God bless you, Richard.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture hopeless case, 'cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone, just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a